Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families for 100 years. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
From the Illinois Soybean Summit at the Peoria Civic Center, I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. This is the closing market report for the 25th day of February 2016. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Emerson Navsiger, agronomist from the U of I, will join us to talk about soybeans and the upcoming growing season. We'll discuss the weather forecast, too. That with Mike Tenora at T-Storm out of Chicago, Illinois. And Matt Bennett will be here from Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, to take a look at the cash grain market as we make our way through this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We'll hear what the numbers finished up like in Chicago for this Thursday afternoon. March corn for the day down 4.25 cents at 355.5. The May, 360.5, a settlement price down 4 cents. July, 4.25 lower at 365.75. In December, $3.79 3/4 down 4. Soy complex now, March beans down 8.5 cents. Finished $8.59. The May at 865.5, 6.75 lower. In July, 6.75 lower as well. They're at 871.75 at the end of the day. November beans of next year, that's the new crop, down 6 cents at $8.76 3/4 cents. Bean meal futures down $2.90 at $2.60 even, and the bean oil 27 cents lower at $30.65. Soft red winter wheat March contract $4.45 1/4, 2.5 higher for the day. July up 2.5 cents as well at $4.62 1/2. The hard red July at $4.67 1/2, finished 3.25 cents higher. Live cattle futures now from Chicago. A settlement price for the February contract actually still trading at this hour, up 85 cents at $137.82 1/2. In the April, $137.40, $1.25 higher. Feeder cattle March contract $159, up $1.05. April contract at $159.05, they're $1.12 1/2 higher. And lean hogs on the day, April contract 22.5 cents lower at $71.25 for 100 pounds. You're listening, of course, to Illinois Public Media. This is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbana. Find us online at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. There you can pick up your tickets, and I urge you to do this right now for our all-day agricultural outlook. It's at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana on the 8th day of March. Tickets are just $30. That includes a really good Beef House meal. Here's what some of the outside markets look like at this hour. Ethanol futures at $1.38 1/2, 2.4 cents lower. Crude oil futures for the day at $33.03, 86 cents higher on the afternoon. And the gasoline at $1.05 4 cents, that's 4.4 cents higher. Heating oil at $1.06 9 cents is a penny higher for the day. And natural gas at $1.70 1/2, that's down 7.3 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 116 points higher, 16,590. The U.S. dollar is down 0.089 at 97.37. And gold futures on the day at $1,235, down $4. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area, a lot better than it was yesterday, that's for sure. Scattered flurries before 2 o'clock this afternoon, should have ended by now. Cloudy with a high of 36 today. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 23, northwest winds at 6 to 13, and Friday, partly sunny with a high near 38 degrees. West-northwest winds at 6 to 8 miles an hour, turning to the southwest in the afternoon. Friday night, partly cloudy, a low of 26. South-southwest winds at 6 to 8. And Saturday, sunny skies, a high of 49. The extended forecast shows us mostly cloudy, rather mostly clear skies on Saturday night, a drop to just 38 degrees. And then Sunday, to start the week, partly sunny, a high of 58. Monday, sunny and 50. And Tuesday, a chance of rainfall, partly sunny and 52 degrees. By the time we get to Wednesday of next week, a chance of rain and snow, mostly cloudy, and a high near 44 degrees.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason at the Peoria Civic Center, and we're taking us through the end of the day here at the Illinois Soybeans Summit. Now let's turn our attention to the marketplace as it stands. Dan Zwicker is with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, and he will be one of the guests that comes in next week, in fact, for a couple of our events, a Will Ag event at Farm Credit, that on Tuesday night next week, 6:30 in the evening, some light refreshments, and then 7 o'clock. Farm Credit really would like you to go ahead and give them a call. Check out the Farm Credit Illinois office in Sherman. That's near Springfield, and you can give them a call and still get yourself registered for that. I'm sure you can just come if you want, but give them a call. Let them know that you're coming. And then in Litchfield, Dan will be with us as well. We'll be at Lincoln Land Community College building there in Litchfield. I think that's probably around 10 o'clock in the morning. That's part of a fundraiser for the St. Francis Hospital there, and will be part of a larger program. And you can call and check in with them, too, if you'd like to. But Dan will be there. And then, of course, Dan, you're coming in to the All-Day Ag Outlook on the 8th day of March, and people can still buy their tickets at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org. So looking forward to seeing you next week and having you back in the great state of Illinois. I think you might be bringing with you a little snow, if I remember right, for next week.
Well, I'm already here, and I found out why I moved to Texas after driving in the snow in southern Illinois. So it reminded me why I moved to Texas, because I left 70-degree weather, mowing my yard for the first time for the season already, and then I come up to Illinois and I get into snow. So, but it's good to be back in Illinois, and I'm actually in Alney here today doing a meeting for a longtime client of mine, crop insurance meeting, and I'm getting ready to head to the Quad Cities and going to spend the weekend with my dad.
No, excellent. That's good news. So one of the things we probably ought to talk about are the USDA numbers released this morning at the Ag Forum in Washington, D.C. They upped the ante on corn acres this year from the 88 million last year to 90 million this year. Soybeans dropped just slightly from 82.7 million planted to 82.5 million. Of course, these are just the Ag Forum numbers. At the end of the month of March, the survey of farmers will give us a better opportunity to figure out what farmers are really thinking. What you think of those numbers, and how'd the marketplace react?
Well, the 90 million acre was touted pretty frequently, so that was no surprise. I would say if anything was a surprise, it was maybe the little lower soybean acres. I think people were maybe looking for soybean acres to maybe be as much as a million higher. So I think that was the only thing that I saw that was maybe a little surprise. The market basically brushed it off. I mean, what it does is it just continues to remind the market that we've got a lot of acres to plant to grain. And if Mother Nature is good to us this year and we have another big crop, overall ending stock supplies are going to grow. I think USDA comes out with their actual balance sheets maybe tomorrow. It'll be interesting to see how they distribute the supply that we're going to raise, because they'll be using trend line yields. My guess is they'll use 168 on corn and maybe 46.5 or something like that on beans. And then we'll probably see how they want to use it or dispense of it. But my guess is it'll show growing ending stocks. And when you're in a growing ending stock situation, it just kind of casts a bearish net over the marketplace. I think today's weakness can be more attributed to end of the month producer pricing. As we all know, producers have a lot of basis contracts on, and they're either being told that they got to price them out or roll them to the next month. And I think we saw a lot of pricing in the market the last couple of days as farmers just going ahead and getting all their cash from that basis contract rather than just a percentage of it. And I think once we get this done for the end of February. Then we'll start the new month, and the market will then begin to focus on spring planting, whether we'll start talking more serious about acres. We'll start having some private survey numbers come out as we get closer to that end of March survey. But that's kind of where I think we are here today anyway, one of the reasons for the weakness. It is a little concerning. I mean, we kind of gave back everything what we've gained last week, but we're still technically in what we would call is more of a sideways type market in here, waiting for a reason to go higher or a reason to take the next leg down.
All right. Well, I'm waiting to see you next week, and I bet a bunch of our listeners will be, too. Looking forward to having you in Sherman and Litchfield, and then, of course, over at the All Day at Covington, Indiana, at the Beef House. Thanks so much, Dan.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker, of course, is with Zwicker Consulting. He's in Waco, Texas.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
From the Illinois Soybean Summit in Peoria, I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Emerson Nafziger, agronomist on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I, is here presenting today. Let's start with something that came out this week on the Bulletin website. There's a new cooperative effort across states in the Midwest to deal with soybeans. Can you tell me a little bit about the background and what really kind of cooperative effort there is for research into beans?
I've had this idea for probably 20 years that if you could gather information on what I did and what yield I got in a 1,000 soybean fields in Illinois, you could develop this thing that says, hey, in this kind of soil and in this kind of weather, and that's the piece that's been added today, everybody has the ability to go to a particular place on the GPS coordinates and say, the weather and the soil are here, this is what's here, and if this is the yield you got, and this is the management you did, then the idea is you make this sort of grand, I don't like the word model very much, but that's really what it is. It's based on what, you know, thousands of fields over years, and you start to get a handle on what planting date and maturity of variety and, you know, fungicides and some of these kinds of things actually do. To yields under a certain set of conditions. And so this is a massive learning tool under development, I guess, and I'm kind of excited about it. It doesn't replace what we're trying to do in some of our replicated research, but it's every field becomes a plot in a system like this. And you say, you know, for these thousands of fields, here's what we did and here's what we got and here's what made a difference in terms of yield. We're talking here today about things I've tried to get done to look at high yields or what makes yields high when the weather is good. We know it takes good weather, and we've had good weather the last 2 years. So it gives us kind of a unique perspective to look at practices under good yielding conditions to see what it takes to move good yields to even better yields.
Would you call this field level research, or is it a field level survey? And it does involve producers and their willingness to fill out information online.
It does, and we're being very careful to make sure that there's never any names attached to any of this. It's both research and sort of a survey. It's using survey data to produce predictions about how we manage in a particular soil in the future. And that's what applied research is always about. We want to predict what will happen when we narrow the rows or increase the seeding rate or add fungicide or do something like this to soybean fields in the future. And that's so it does become it's a powerful tool today because we have the computer power and the sensing going on sort of publicly available. We can get weather from any field in Illinois for any given year, we can go back and look at the records. It may not be perfect for did this much rain really fall on this corner of this field, but in a general sense, it's something we can do now that we've never been able to do before. And you say, well, why mess with the weather when we can't really predict it anyway? And I'll admit, 30 years ago, I thought we'd be a little better at predicting it than we seem to be, but we're pretty good at describing it. It's also difficult to manage based on weather that is predicted because our predictions aren't very good. And we've all seen this in the years in Illinois. You have people say, well, it's going to be a drier and warmer than normal summer, and it turns out to be the opposite. And we have to be careful not to make decisions that hurt us if those weather predictions don't turn out to be very accurate. And the way you do that is you just have lots and lots of fields with information like this, and you can start to look at the cost and the return to these kinds of practices, even if the weather doesn't come out exactly like predicted. In other words, kind of the theoretical question, if we knew exactly what weather we were going to get, how would we manage, and what will it cost us if we manage that way and don't get the weather we predict? And we certainly have to be ready in every case in Illinois to take advantage of good weather when we get it and not be done in by poor weather when that happens.
So folks that are interested in filling out, farmers that is, that are interested in filling out the survey will need some information from their farms. They can go to bulletin.ipm.illinois.edu and they can see an article there, but they'll go someplace else eventually to fill these out online.
Well, actually, I didn't put it online to be filled out, but I was happy yesterday to get about 15 or 20 emails saying, I'll do this, and I just send them the form. So we're keeping it pretty simple at this point. We would like to get at least 500 fields, and the form has room to put information from four fields from an individual farmer. But we would like to get at least 500 fields from the 2014 and 2015 crop years, and then we're going to repeat this in a year and in 2 years, try to get data from the 2016 and 2017 crop years as well. We've taken care here not to make this very burdensome. I suggested in the bulletin note that it might take no more than 5 minutes. I think that's probably accurate if somebody has the records to do it. So you can go to the article and just see my email, and I say, just email me and I'll send you the forms. And they can be filled out electronically and sent back. In fact, yesterday I got one back already. It was a good day because it was snowing, and so people were sitting there reading the bulletin and seeing that. And we have some cooperation with seed companies as well. So I think we're going to reach our goal, but we may have to keep at it this summer and get a track down a few more people to get more of these filled out. These things really do run on numbers. If you can't get nearly as many fields as you want, the thing really doesn't have much power when you're done.
Thanks so much. Emerson Nafziger, of course, is an agronomist on the Urbana-Champaign campus at the University of Illinois. He'll be at the All-Day Agricultural Outlook at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, on the 8th day of March, along with a whole bunch of our regular analysts, a dozen of them. You can pick your tickets up right now, willag.org, willag.org. Make sure you do that, because Monday we'll stop sending those out in the mail to you, and you'd have to get them at will call, and that's just a problem for you and for us as well. Prefer you get them earlier. It's only $30, includes the meal at the noon hour from the Beef House and the whole event for the day. That's again March the 8th. It's a Tuesday at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Get your tickets at willag.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason at the Illinois Soybean Summit in Peoria. Matt Bennett now joins us to take a look at the cash grain market and the situation on the ground outside of his area in Windsor, Illinois. Of course, he's with Channel Seeds and Bennett Consulting. Thanks, Matt, for being with us. USDA this morning released some numbers. Have you had a chance to look at those? And what do you think of the acreage figure, which was up for corn and just slightly lower for soybeans?
I think that there are a fair amount of guys in the Midwest that would concur with that. Whenever you look at the ROI on corn versus soybeans, it sure looks like a better situation, especially on productive farm ground. But, you know, we're in a significantly different situation than what we've been in the last couple of years. And obviously, profitability is an issue. Cash is an issue. And I guess that I'm not too sure that we're going to increase corn acreage 2 million acres given the spring insurance price being where it's going to be.
And speaking of cash being an issue, are you hearing more and more that farmers are really worried about this coming growing season and their ability to put a crop in the ground, produce it, and make any kind of money to put the next crop in the ground?
Well, you know, I think the debt-to-asset ratio, like the USDA said this morning, is still pretty good. You know, it's pretty much intact. But I think it's no secret that, you know, we've really drawn down liquidity. And so that definitely changed the person's mindset just a little bit. And I think if you ask a room full of producers right now if they feel optimistic about 2016, you know, you're not going to get a lot of hands raised, because I think guys are pretty frustrated, and they understand that if we have another decent crop, which is what they're hoping to produce, we're probably going to be looking at lower price a year from now. So, you know, I think that there's some pessimism out there. I think guys are still in decent shape. But I do think that cash is a concern for a lot of people.
Does this lack of optimism jibe with what you're thinking about the marketplace, and how do you manage risk for the 2016 crop then?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, first of all, we've got to understand that generally the market gives us some opportunities during the growing season. You know, for 14, we actually had a chance to sell a fair amount of $5 DEET corn. For 15, we had a chance, albeit a small one, to sell 450 DEET corn. I don't know where that's going to be at for 2016, but chances are we're going to have a much better opportunity to sell at a different time of the year than today. It's just a matter of whether we're going to be able to pull the trigger whenever it's time to do so. So my biggest encouragement for guys is know your break-even price of corn. It's going to help you make the move whenever it's time to make it.
And finally, come back to the old crop, corn and soybeans. Many producers will have a crop that they have yet to market. March 1st is approaching. Some will have to pull the trigger. Do they need to do anything in replacement? And otherwise, what are your thoughts going forward?
You know, volatility is just really not there. There's not much volatility at all. And so if I'm going to be in that situation where I really need to move the bushels, I think it's a pretty good idea to step in and sell the corn, put the money in your pocket, and then buy an at-the-money, maybe September call spread. That'll give you until, you know, until 20th August to see some sort of a rally or appreciation. And you already know you've got a floor in place, but, you know, in opposition to simply buying it, but you've got the cash in hand because you sold the corn. So I think for either corn or beans, that could work. I'd be more apt to protect all my corn bushels than I would my bean bushels. But by all means, you can protect beans fairly cheaply as well.
Matt, thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks, Doug.
Matt Bennett is with Channel Seeds and Bennett Consulting out of Windsor, Illinois. Joins us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. When we come back, we'll talk about the weather forecast with Mike Tenor at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Don't forget to go to our website at willag.org and pick up your tickets to the All-Day Ag Outlook. Don't wait. Do it right now.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers, helping farm families succeed for 100 years.
It's St. Walburga Day. The nun was an English missionary to the Frankish Empire. She died on this date in 779 and was canonized on May 1st of 870. She is known as the patron of crops. It's also International Clam Chowder Festival Day and National Chocolate-Covered Peanuts Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1904, Adele Davis was born. She was a nutritionist and author of Let's Eat Right to Keep Fit. The book created a firestorm in the medical community, where doctors found on average one mistake per page. In 1918 on this date, wartime food rationing began in parts of England. The rationing was in response to German U-boats that were sinking in ports of food. By the time rationing began, parts of England had just 6 weeks of food on hand. In 1922, Donald MacLean was born. MacLean was a Scottish potato expert who had one of the world's largest private collections of potatoes with 367 varieties. The potato revolution was credited to MacLean. He spent his life making the public aware of the innate diversity of potatoes, including cooking quality, pest and disease resistance, flavor, and appearance. And in 1934, Elizabeth Gertrude Knight Britton died. An American botanist, she helped establish the New York Botanical Gardens. Britton published more than 350 papers, including more than 170 on mosses. And that's this date in agricultural history.
From the Illinois Soybean Summit, I'm Todd Gleason in Peoria at the Civic Center. It's been a fantastic day, nearly 300 farmers in the audience, and I think more would have been here if we hadn't had such a rough weather situation on Wednesday during the day and into the evening. Mike Tenora from T-Storm Weather in Chicago is here now. Mike, it was kind of a big system that rolled through. Is this one of the beginning of maybe a pattern for our springtime weather, do you think?
Well, normally I would quickly say no and just move on, because a lot of the times there's not really too many indicators that can give you a hint of what a long-range weather pattern might look like. But I think we're in a different situation this year, and I would argue that that is more than likely the beginning of what will be a stormier pattern once we get into March. The reason I say that is basically because of the same thing that we've been talking about for about 6 months, and that's the El Nino. There's no doubt that the El Nino is weakening. We can look at temperature data out there in the Pacific, and we can see that it's lost about half a degree Celsius to three quarters of a degree Celsius over the last 3 months. It might not sound like much, but that's a lot, and that tells you that the El Nino is weakening. Now, we know that when we have a strong El Nino, we typically end up with mild winters, and it looks like the Corn Belt will end up having experienced its number 10 mildest winter on record, and that record goes back to 1895-96. We define the winter as December, January, and February. When you look at that El Nino situation and you project it into the spring, typically what you end up seeing is that the Corn Belt ends up wetter or much wetter than normal in El Nino springs. There's only real two examples where that didn't happen since 1960. And one was in 1988, which was the beginning of a large drought. And once the same thing happened in 1966, except 1966 really wasn't all that dry as compared to 88. So we think that that storm that just went through yesterday is going to be the beginning of several more like that. We can already see that there's a high chance for a significant rain event or maybe even some snow again once we get into about Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. And it looks like there's another one behind that about 5 days later. So now all of a sudden we've had two significant rain or snow events in March, if that's correct, and you're already near normal or quite a bit above normal for the month of March, and you're only, say, 10 days into it.
Is there anything turning your attention to South America that we need to be aware of with either the Argentine or Brazilian crops? It seems like things have turned fairly benign there.
Well, the only thing that we would note is that if you look at temperatures in Argentina since February 1st, they're in the midst of their number one warmest period for corn since before 1980. And if you look at the soybean producing area, which is a tiny bit different than corn, but pretty similar, they're in the midst of their number two warmest period since 1980. Now, we know that crops are generally filling at the moment. And as you know, being in the U.S., the best way to fill a corn and soybean crop is with wet and cool weather. Well, having been among the warmest since 1980 is probably not ideal, but they've also been pretty wet. corn and soybeans both around number 3 to number 5 wettest since 1980. So, we're looking at the warm and wet close to their growing season. Whether or not that prevents full yield potential will be seen later, but history says that you want to be wet and cool and has been wet and warm.
Mike Tenora, of course, is with T-Storm Weather, joins us on this Thursday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report from the Soybean Summit. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.